There are several tables that talk. Okay? You may not realize it, but tables do talk. Now, I've not gone crazy, so don't be calling anybody up and saying the preacher's gone off his nut, off his rocker up here. But in a functional, universal language of purpose, tables can talk. When I was much younger, and Jim David was much younger, and we were out in seminary in Fort Worth, we had an old kitchen table. It was one of these kind that, you know, people would buy back then. Had a formica top on it. It was a table you could feel real comfortable just sitting behind it. You didn't worry about whether you spilled anything on it or not. You didn't worry about whether you put your elbows up on the table. You know, the old table just seemed to say, you know, sit around me. Just feel comfortable. Talk to the family. I don't care if you put your elbows on me. That won't bother me at all. Jim Davis, you can spill all of the orange juice on me you want to. I'll just wipe right on up. Just feel comfortable around me. That just seemed to be what that table said as long as we had it. About 25, 26 years ago, now it seems hard to realize it's that long ago and that time has passed so very quickly, but one Christmas, about 25, 26 years ago, I bought Jerry what she had always dreamed of for Christmas. I bought her a round, solid oak little table to sit at it while you're eating breakfast and eating supper. You know, a real nice table. And we were real proud of it. I really felt good about being able to do that, give her something that she wanted. But, you know, I never did feel comfortable around that table for a long time. It took me a while to get the feeling, you know, that I could just be myself around that table. Seemed like every time I sat down, that table was saying, "You be careful, Jim. I am the real thing, you know. I'm a solid oak table. This is what Jerry wants. Don't you dare spill anything on me now. Get your elbows off of me now. I don't want you to do that." We used to come in and buy the groceries, and that kind of fell on me to do since seminary years. Jerry will write out the list, and I'd go buy the groceries, and I'd come in, and that old table, I just put the grocery bags down on the table. But this old new table, it just said, "Don't you dare put those groceries down on me. I'm going to tell Jerry if you do that." You get the idea of what I'm talking about, don't you? They didn't audibly say this stuff. Now don't get me wrong. Tables don't audibly talk. You don't put your ear up there to the table and say, "Hey, what are you saying?" You know. But they do talk. And I believe you catch my drift. I'm not going to talk about what the end table says or what the tables in the bedroom say. But we come to the table of our Lord today. And this table, even though it will not speak audibly, this table speaks. Okay? It speaks. It wants to say something to us. Now, you may have come into the service today and you look down here and you saw the Lord's Supper under the cloth, and you heard that table say to you, here we go again. Doesn't seem like that long ago that we did this, does it? Well, sit on down. You'll endure it. It'll be over with. Maybe that's what your heart heard it say, whether we're saying it or not. Maybe your heart heard it say, "Well, that means the service today's going to go a little bit longer than normal. If I want to get down to the restaurant before everybody else, the Methodist Church does, I'm going to have to scoot out the door just as soon as service is over with. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm going to have to get on out of here." Maybe that's what you heard. Maybe when you came in, you heard nothing. You heard just silence. And you know, I think that may be the worst of all. Not to be able to hear anything from the Lord in a service such as this. So I want us to think just very, very briefly this morning about what I hear the tables say. As a matter of fact, more the elements that are underneath the cloth, what they say to me. First of all, I think the table says, Jim, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. And if you're a believer in Christ, that's exactly what it's trying to say to you today. The elements, the little bit of grape juice that's representative of the blood of Christ, and the little cracker that represents the broken body of Christ, saying to you, Christian, you are forgiven. Now, a lot of you probably accepted Christ early in life. How many of you accepted Jesus somewhere around 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age? A lot of you. Yeah. You probably at that time responded more to the message of John 3:16 about the love of God, did you not? God loves you, for God so loved the world, and that's you too. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you believed in the love of God, you believed that He gave Jesus, and you believe He gives you eternal life. You didn't think about what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians so much, when he in Romans, where he talked about the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of these sins is death. You didn't think about that as much as an 8, 9, or 10-year-old. I'm sure you realized you were a sinner. I was saved young in life. Jim David was saved young in life. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I'd told some lies, but you know, the things that I had done, the things that probably you had done, were not going to be flashing before your eyes all of that much at that age. You know, people say that if you're having a near-death experience, you see your life flash before you. Well, if you have your life as a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old flashing before you, you may see a few lies and you may see a few rebellion against mama and daddy, but you're not going to see grave sins. You're not going to be feeling a removal of guilt as much as a person who's 30 or 40 or 50 when they're saved. But think about it, folks. You that were saved young, think about your life since then. Think about all the sins that have been committed by you since that day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If your life flashed before you today in that same kind of fashion, there'd be a lot more guilt, would there not, being in your heart and upon you when you think about those sins that were committed from that day to this day. And the truth of the Scripture is that, folks, those sins that you committed when you were young that were forgiven at that moment you were saved as a young person, as well as the sins that you have committed since that day, are all forgiven. Your past sins, your present sins, your future sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. He came to establish the new covenant, which gives to us forgiveness forever of our sins. That's what the table is saying to me today. Jesus said, sitting at, or reclining there actually at the table, that first Lord's Supper, the night before He died, He said to the apostles that were there, He said, "This is My blood," holding that cup with the wine in it that they drank from. "This cup of this blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, not just them, not just the 12, not just the people of that day, but for all who have lived, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." So as we come to the table of our Lord today, I want us to hear that great truth. Christian, your sins are forgiven, covered by the blood of the Lamb that we sang about just a few moments ago. Second thing that I think this table is saying to me is, Jim, there are better days ahead. There are better days ahead. Praise the Lord is right. Isn't that right? You look at the Tuscaloosa News, or you look at the newscast on television, and what have you seen? What have you seen this past week? You've seen that there have been people who've lost homes because of fires out in California. People who've lost homes in Hawaii because of a volcano. People in Japan lost lives and lost their homes because of floods. All kinds of disaster. Every time you turn your television on, you watch the 10 o'clock news. Breaking news! Someone was shot on the west side of town. It's not breaking news, folks. It happens just about every night. That's the sad thing. That's the sad thing. This is the kind of world in which we live in. A world that is sin sick. A world that's filled with people who would just as soon lie as to speak the truth. We see that each and every day. People who want whatever everybody else has got, and they'll take it from you if you give them half a chance, including your life. That's the kind of days we are living in. But the table says to us, folks, there are better days. There are better days coming for each and every one of us. Because there's going to be a day when we sit at a table not like this, much larger. It will contain all the believers for all the ages at a banquet that Scripture calls the Messianic Banquet. I don't know what will be on that table, but I bet it'll taste good. And it'll usher us in, folks, into the better days of life in heaven, where there will be no breaking news headlines about murder. There will be no death. There will be no sickness. There will be no fires that destroy life. And that thing, the things that people cherish, there'll be none of this. It's prepared for us. I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus said, that where I am, there you may be also. And when you're there, it's nothing but better days. Better days. So if you just use your imagination, folks, don't cock your ear. You don't have to do that. Just use your imagination this morning. And if you do, you'll find this table talking to you. You may say the same thing that it said to me. My sins are forgiven. There are better days ahead. It may be saying other things to lift you up in your individual search, in your individual situations. We're going to take a moment for everybody just to bow their heads, just be as silent as you can. And before we observe the Lord's Supper, let's listen to what Jesus says to us as the table of our Lord talks to us. It's a verse of Scripture that you see every week when you come to church. It's right here on the table. This do in remembrance of me. Remember me. And that's what we're to do today. Remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us, his body broken, nails placed in his hands and his feet, crown of thorns upon his head, scourged with an inch of his life, 6 hours of agony upon the cross, his precious blood shed for our forgiveness of sin. These represent all these things that we remember about that day, that Passion Day, that Good Friday, not because of what happened, but because of what it accomplished, our salvation. Thank you.
1 Corinthians, Paul said, "For I have received from the Lord, which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread." This is a symbol of that bread. "When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Paul continues saying, "In the same way also the cup," and this cup represents the shed blood of Jesus, "after supper, saying, 'This cup, this expression of my blood, is the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." The significance of the Lord's death, what it means to you, what it could mean to a lost individual until the time when he comes back again. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Before we close, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And the invitation is threefold. If there's someone here today who has never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're under a weight of guilt, it may be a heavy weight, because you are older, have sinned more. It may be a young child that has a light sense of guilt, but a deep love for Jesus, and they want him to be their Savior. The invitation is to come and to receive him as Christ, the Savior, this morning. There may be someone here today that is thinking about a church home. You visited Grants Creek, You want to move a letter, come by statement to be a part of this fellowship. We encourage you, if this is what God leads you, directs you to do, to make that decision today. And for each and every one of us that are believers, the time at the table of the Lord is a time for self-examination, a time for confession, a time for very real repentance and receiving from Christ a fresh new start in your walk with Him, in your love for Him. If you need to rededicate and reconsecrate your life to serving Him and loving Him, right where you are, come forward, pray at the altar, whatever God leads you to do. The invitation is open as we stand and as we sing.